And we are excited about our next guest here, a guy we know very well. What a resume, Pat, for high school. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's got to be a little bit surreal right now. I know you've been to this banquet before, and now being on the stage tonight, what emotions are you are going through your mind right now?
Well, really, I, like I said before, with some of the other interviews, I think it's a really nice honor. It's one of those things that my whole athletic career and everything, I was in it because I wanted to do it, and the coaching. And this is just a little bit of icing on the top, that's all. It's a nice way to kind of close everything out.
You had a pretty outstanding career at Grove City back in your playing days, football, wrestling, track, you did it all.
Yeah, I did. And we didn't have a baseball team at the time, or, you know,
that would
have
been the one. That's what I said, a big career in baseball, too,
yes,
right?
That was
in college,
that
right?
That was my favorite sport. Yeah. That was the one that I liked to play the best, obviously, and played in college. But, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun in high school, and we did okay. We didn't have great teams, but I just enjoyed playing. And my brother and I have a brother that's 15 months younger. Growing up, that's all we did. We, in the summertime, it was baseball every day. When it got to the fall, we played football, and then we wrestled a lot, not intentionally, but sometimes that happens. Yeah. So
you had a chance to wrestle under Marty Rulli, I assume?
Actually, no. Marty coached me in junior wrestling. When I got to the high school then, it was Ed Carlson who was there, and then Petula from Oil City, Richard Petula.
Dick Petula.
Yes, Dick Petula. He was my coach our senior year, yes.
So you baseball was your game. Now, we never saw you play. I saw you coach, but never saw you play. Describe the player that you were.
I was a catcher most of my career, caught through college. My senior year, I was captain of the team at Slippery Rock, and they had an outstanding player award that they gave out, which I got, and then first team all PSAC, the West, and then after college, I went on and moved to California for 3.5 years and played in what's called the Orange County Baseball Association out there. It was a great, great league out there. A lot of ex-minor leaguers and Division I college players and all that, and just played a lot out there. It was a lot of fun. Actually, my last year out there, I always tell everybody that
we're going to have to pause because you're going to
they want you to take a picture.
Oh, they want a picture.
Go
and
grab
then you
the,
come back.
You come
okay.
back.
You go
I'll be
do
back.
Your picture,
I'll be
and back. Then we'll bring you back as we're talking to Pat Farese, who's had a storied career here.
We're going to get Father Lefty out of the bullpen here for
a moment.
Father Lefty, who is Lefty Flack, Robert Flack, the Reverend, is back here to Mercer County Hall of Fame. And he was a guest on Sam Belich's Senior Update show on Friday on WPIC. Yeah. And you were spinning a bunch of tales that morning. You did a great job.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be back home for a while.
And you're excited about being back at the Hall of Fame here again tonight?
Very, very excited. Always a blessing to be here with the good family.
You still live outside of Philadelphia, is that correct?
I'm in a veterans home now.
And that's outside of Philadelphia?
Yeah, Chester County.
Now, Lefty had an incredible career in the NFL. Not as a player.
No, as a
chaplain.
Chaplain. I started out with Bruce Arians as a head coach, first head coaching job when he was at Temple, which being in the stadium with the Eagles, their chaplain passed away, and then I started with them. I done masses for the Bears, McCaffrey family, Kansas City when Marty Schottenheimer was there, Jim Moore with the Colts, kind of a free agent.
Andy Reid?
Unfortunately, yes, I have to say yes.
Unfortunately, though?
I won't be rooting for him tomorrow.
Not a fan of Andy Reid.
No, Sean Payton's a good friend of mine. When he was with the Giants, I did their mass. Dave Wannstedt, when he was the head coach at the Chicago Bears, Western PA boy. I hung out with him. I kind of didn't get along with Andy Reid.
Now, tell us the challenge of being a chaplain for an NFL team that had a lot of different, probably religions and also personalities in that locker room.
Very, very difficult. It wasn't so much about being there and having a mass and drawing them in there for 45 minutes. My masses last 15 minutes. Give them a little spirituality and cut them loose and hope you made an impact on their life. And And the coaches were more superstitious when they came to Mass because they said, you know, a couple of them would say, hey, you think and ask God to help us win this game? I said, I think God got more important things to think about than that football game, you know. But it was a lot of fun. I had the opportunity to meet, like, Mike Webster when he was at the latter part of his career. You know how I made it in the Kansas City Chiefs yearbook with Christian Okoye and them. And Bruce Arians taught me two things. When you come to the NFL, the first words out of your mouth is, what can I do to help? And the last words out of your mouth is, can I have this? You follow the first set, many doors will open for you. You follow the second, you'll be in trouble. And I stayed with the first.
Now, you got to be on the sidelines for all these
games. The bench passes. But the reason I didn't wear the collar on the bench when I was on the sidelines, I was usually, in those days, they had the wire to be carried or the steel shots of the individual offensive line plays. So I had a clipboard on one hand and a wire in another hand. I was working.
So you're actually working?
Carrying that wire, so the coach went that way 100 yards for no reason at all, came back this way.
So he doesn't get tangled up.
Yeah, he don't get
tangled up. The
headset
wire, okay.
Yeah, and then you got 350-pound linemen standing
on the wire.
You're supposed to be back behind the white line, so you'd have to put your elbow into him or, you know, whatever, you know. But, I mean, I got a lot of respect because I was the one guy as a priest or as a religious who contributed back. I wasn't about me. It was about them, you know. Joe Vitt, who's a longtime linebackers coach, was with the Saints for quite a while. I don't know where he is right now. I think maybe with the Chicago Bears or somebody. You know, he'd give me his stipend for the week. You know, I could get a few ice cream bars, you know, on the side, you know. But Howard Mudd, who was played with the Chicago Bears with Dick Butkus, he was an offensive line coach. I used to pick him up at the airport, take him to Pat's Steak so he could eat a cheesesteak all over the church car, even laying in the floorboards and stuff, and then take him back to the motel. But I gave, like you guys know me, I gave back, and that was the best thing I could have done because I made more of an impression by giving back and not standing out with the collar on the sidelines like I'm holier than thou or better than everybody, but by being part of the team, you know. There was Ray Rhodes was very appreciative of that, you know.
Now, did you ever, because, you know, we know you, and you're not a quiet guy. Did you ever get an official upset with you with maybe a comment or two, or maybe a missed call?
You mean when I tripped him when he fell down?
Yeah, that.
Well, if that happened, yeah, that'd be something.
You know, and then they say the officials say, who is that? That's Father Lefty. Oh man, I heard about him. Everything's okay. I think one of my biggest disappointments in the NFL was I met Bill Cowher when he was a head coach. Well, no, when he was an offensive line coach with Kansas City Chiefs. No, he was a special teams coach
for the Chiefs under Marty Schottenheim.
Yes, thank you. I had a senior moment there. And he became a head coach with the Steelers, and he and Bruce were very, very close. He never returned his calls when Bruce was trying to look for a job. And I saw him when I was with the Eagles at pregame. Nobody on the field, hardly anybody. I walked up to him. I said, Bill, I said, could I get a picture with you? You're now with my hometown, the Steelers. I said, I'd like to get a picture. He said, I don't need to be bothered with that right now. I was very, very upset. I was going to bing, bada boom, bada bing. You know? And security director, who was a state trooper for the Eagles, came out. He was going to take the picture. He had my camera. And he actually embarrassed Bill Cowher to take the picture, you know. And I contributed, you know. I thought I had that right to ask that small question, but, you know, kind of upset me.
Well,
you know,
I would imagine that. You know, now, what are you doing? You're living outside of Philadelphia.
I'm semi-retired. I do masses 2 days a week, Monday and Tuesday, and I work at the Veterans Hospital volunteering Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And when you plan on going back to Philly, you have a sled to take you back?
Well, Mel Grotta set me up with a courtesy driver, and we were going to go tonight at 2 in the morning to beat the storm. But they talked me, Mr. Tamber and Mel, and then talked me into going Monday morning.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to see you, Lefty, as we know you by, Father Lefty. It's great to see you back here in Mercer County. Hopefully you're back every year doing this, doing the banquet here.
Yeah, who'll cut my check?
Bob.
That's
Bob
Jim Tamber.
Yeah. Bob, Jim Tamber.
Hey, I had
you,
to do that. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate
it's
it.
An honor and a privilege to be with you guys.
We appreciate it.
Good to have you
operation.
Again. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Good to be
all
at
right,
and we're going to bring Pat Parise back as photo opportunities brought Pat away for a moment. As Pat, one of the inductees this year in 2019, we talked about we're talking about some of Pat's baseball exploits. I find it fascinating that, you know, when I looked at your bio, I knew you were a big baseball guy, and then I'm like, why is there no baseball in the high school time? And you answered that there wasn't a high school team. So played independent ball along the way to keep yourself going? Or
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, played through Legion out here and then college. And then, like I said, after college, you know, I went to California and played out there in a really good league. Actually, my last season out there before I moved back, it was a fall season. I'd moved to third by then, got out from behind the plate finally, and moved to third. And the shortstop on our team was in the fall playing. It was his last year between his last year of AAA and his first year in the bigs. He played 10 years in the bigs. Glenn Hoffman was his name. He's still coaching third for San Diego, and his brother was Trevor Hoffman, the reliever. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of league it is. We had another AAA pitcher on our team, and you know, there were about eight or nine teams in the league. It was just a lot of fun playing that caliber of baseball out there.
Pat, one thing we've seen over the years with ex-athletes to keep their competitive spirit going, some will go to gambling, some will go to golf, and you have found golf as a sport that, and you've excelled at it, and have been able to exceed and succeed at the sport of golf for a long, long time. Talk about how important golf has been in your life.
It's been very important. A couple of reasons. One, because I started getting into it early, and then when my son was about, 2 years old, I cut some clubs down for him to start hitting. By the time he was five, I had him out on a course playing with me. He would, you know, start out, I would hit my drive, and he would play in from there. By the time he was seven or eight, he was playing the Reds. By the time he was 10, he was playing the Whites. So we were playing together all the time when we had a free moment. And he ended up being a really good golfer. We have a bunch of guys out there that we just get together and play. It's a great group. I was telling somebody earlier, my rounds were down last year. I only got to record 100 rounds last summer, down from about 145 2 years ago. So
I'm sure Tony Mastrian has you beat. Tony Mastrian still golfs, I think, every day.
So those two, I think, would be pretty similar number. What do you get in the summer? Just a regular golfer like you.
If I'm lucky to get maybe 25 or
so, that gives rounds. That gives you a reference. Yeah. Okay, yes, Bob likes to golf, and then Pat's so getting out there.
Another reason my rounds are down too. I don't play when it's cold anymore. If it's
you have
chilly,
choice.
I'm out.
You have choice. You had a great career as a golf coach as well. So not only playing well on your own right, teaching your son, but kids of Grove City as well benefit from that.
Yeah, we did. And the thing about golf is the fortunate thing is I had some pretty good players too. So. But that was a lot of fun coaching golf, going through all the different kids I had for the 14 years. And we were at States 8 years in a row, which was a pretty good accomplishment. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun with the golf, too. Got me through the fall, and then naturally baseball got me through the spring and made things a lot more easy to get through. We'll put it that way.
And, of course, baseball coaching, many years at Grove City, many years of success. What do you think most fondly of your days as a baseball coach at Grove City?
Well, really, my favorite thing about all coaching was watching a kid come in as a freshman and seeing how raw they were and watching them leave as a senior, how much they have developed through those 4 years. And it was a lot of fun teaching them the proper way to do things and play the game and just watch how they developed. That was my favorite thing about coaching. I started the baseball program in 88. The first 5 years, we were like 35 and 50 the first 5 years. It was, you know, a little tough getting it going, but we had some success along the way with that too. And then from about 93 on, we did pretty well.
Yeah, a lot of success. Now, for the parents out there in this day and age that aren't as fond of kids being on the bench and not getting playing time, how did you as a coach try to juggle all that? You know, how did you evaluate your players? You know, what was the process, and how did you try to deal with parents through the years and trying to satisfy everybody?
That's the most difficult thing about coaching, obviously, because everybody, you know, wants to play and get their playing time in and all that. The thing I did mostly is carried about 15 on the varsity for baseball, and the JV we carried between 15 and 20 kids. And the thing with the varsity was, if you were on the varsity team, if you were one of the 15, you were probably going to letter. I think almost every year all 15 or 16 players lettered, because I used them in all different ways, pinch run, pinch hit, you know, substitute here and there. I used the bench quite a bit in the games, not just to get kids in, but in critical situations. I know there were times I had one parent, I pinch hit a kid, he was a sophomore, he was on a varsity team, and, you know, it had not hit real well that year, and put him in a very critical situation against Hickory. And I know the dad after the game saw me and said, why'd you put him in? Well, the kid ended up getting a base hit, you know, in that situation. So, I mean, you know, you just kind of go with a feel on that, on you know, who can do what when, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, then you go back to the drawing board.
And you talked about starting the baseball. I'm going to go back and get these numbers that you kind of blew past. You started the baseball career, and you said about 35 and 50. When it was all said and done, you won 350 games in that career. So after those first five, it was about 300 to 100 of wins and losses, which is amazing numbers. And like you said, playing everybody, keeping involved, that's what allows you to have a long and successful career.
Yeah, absolutely. And the kids, I won't say it on the radio, but they bought into what I had to tell them, mm-hmm. and they believed in it, and it worked. So.
How many times in your career as a coach, baseball coach, did you rake the infield?
Every day.
That was one of the jobs that everybody hated to do, but you had to do it.
Every day. We built it. I have some of the kids from the early years. We had to redo the fields. And what we would do this one season was we would practice for an hour and a half, and the last half hour we would pick rocks to get the fields ready. Mm. So, I mean, we built the fields. We built the cages. My wife and I had a few disputes over the time I spent out there, but we got things done. I think the field's in great shape now. And Billy Herman took over for me. He played for me, played at Slippery Rock. Great kid. He's doing a great job with them. Actually won a district title this year, and he's continuing the program. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very glad that he's the one that took over and is doing it.
Now, do you still go watch some of those games?
Oh, yeah, when the weather's nice.
And now you have choice, right? We're talking fields right at the park,
absolutely.
In Memorial Park,
absolutely.
In the city, and done that. And it's a nice complex up there for baseball, for the community. We need to take a break. We're up against the top of the hours. We're going to have the news. So we appreciate you coming in, Pat. Congratulations on Mercer County Hall of Fame.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations, Pat.
Thanks.
All right. Pat Parise, 2019 Mercer County Hall of Fame.